All right, so before I get started, I have a confession to make. I love music. Does anyone else like music? Yeah, okay. But when I say I love music, like I really like music. And I'm gonna open my Spotify in a second, and it's gonna kind of call me out a bit. So my Spotify on repeat is a bit of a mix mash of country, of what I call Jesus music, of pop, of rock, of old school bangers. Looks a bit like this. Hopefully it's gonna come up for me. Maybe, there we go. There's some of this stuff, and then on the next one, there's some more really out there, some cold chisel. You can tell my dad brought me up on music. My next one, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in there, and so much more. But music just kind of does something to us, right? See, music evokes something in everyone. Now, I don't know about any of you or if you'll relate to it, but you see, when I'm feeling down, I like to go and I put on my sad playlist. Like, I have a whole playlist of just like sad songs, because that's what you do, right? That's going to make you feel better when you're upset, right? Make that make sense. So I put that on when I'm having a bad day because I want music that speaks about how I'm feeling. When I'm getting ready to go out with the girls or go to a concert, the hype music is on. The music is blaring, My Poor Neighbours. I'm having the time of my life, my own concert, in my own house, in the kitchen, love and life. I fit, my roof is like not super tall, but I'm not super tall. So I have at times stood on my kitchen bench and pretended I was Taylor Swift, had my own little concert. Or when I get in the car, I need some music. My dad complains about all the time. I get in the car, take forever to actually get going because I need the right song. I need the right tune while I'm driving. And so it's the same when it comes to worship. The same thing I've noticed, that there are certain worship songs that explain everything about how I'm feeling. It might be reflective, it might be joyful, and everything in between. But here's what I've noticed, that music isn't just background noise. It actually helps to process how we're feeling. That's why it's so powerful and why God loves when we use music to worship Him. And so it says in Psalm 150, it's what I like to call the praise party, is that it's the last chapter of the book of Psalms. And honestly, it's like God's ultimate praise playlist. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His almighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with harp and lyre and harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Praise Him with clash of cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord God. Praise the Lord. This is not quiet praise. This is loud, joyful, clanging, dancing praise. It's not just worship, it's a celebration. And so worship is a joyful expression. Worship isn't always polished or pretty. It's real. Sometimes it's loud. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes you're crying, you're shouting, you're dancing. And all of that's okay. God doesn't want a performance. He wants your heart. He wants your voice, He wants your presence. Worship, especially through music, has become one of the ways that I fight my battles. Not just the big ones, but the everyday ones. The overthinking, the what if they don't like me? I'm so overwhelmed. I have 29 assessments to mark and 70 report cards, comments to write. Why did I just say that? Was that the right thing to tell that kid? All of those everyday battles. When I don't bring those feelings to God, it all just kind of piles up. But when I worship, when I stop and just praise, something shifts. Praise sometimes feels hard. Because let's be real, sometimes the last thing you want to do is praise. You're tired, you're done, life is overwhelming. If you're like me, you haven't cooked dinner, your washing isn't done, you've had a hard conversation with a friend, a boss, your mum. And the idea of lifting your hands in worship feels like a big nope. But it's in those moments that praise becomes the most powerful. When I've been at my lowest, I'm confused, I'm hurt, I'm lost, I'm just done. It was worship that reminded me of who I am and who God is. Worship switches something inside us. When I've been on mountaintop high prayers that have been answered, work is going great, I'm feeling on top of the world, it's the worship that reminds me that I didn't do that on my own. There's like a light bulb moment. Because you know what? You're human. You have a bunch of emotions, thoughts, subconscious, soul, well-being, all of these things, and life happens. It happens to us whether we want it to or not. And we start to get a bit overloaded with thoughts and with doubts, with fear, with disappointment, and with uncertainty, with unforgiveness, with anger, all of the things. And in that moment, you don't need a social media post, a big conversation, or to process how you're feeling with a soundboard. We actually need something to switch in that moment. As someone who works with young people, I've seen it over and over again, when life feels too much, when we often need, isn't a lecture or more noise, we actually need a reset, like flicking a light switch. Psychologists call it a gratitude intervention, but I call it praise. When we worship and we take our eyes off the mess and lift them to the one who can actually do something about it, it switches something in us. But I want to jump for a second to 2 Samuel 23:1. These are the last words of David, the man anointed by God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. Because if you didn't know, the guy that wrote Psalms is David. And in ancient times, when somebody was introduced, they saved the most important or the most impressive title for last, because that's what you want people to remember. So like, hi, I'm Monique, I'm a secondary teacher, I'm a secondary chaplain, I'm a brigade leader, I'm a daughter, but I'm also the princess of the Most High. That is what I want people to remember. Not that I'm a teacher, not that I'm a chaplain, not that I'm a brigade leader or any of these things that are great, but I want to be remembered as somebody who is the daughter of the king. And so David, who defeated Goliath, who ruled a nation and led armies, was remembered most as the singer of songs. Because God saw the worshiper in David first, the shepherd boy in the field writing songs, the teenager who was picked to play for King Saul to calm him down. David was chosen because of his heart of worship. My mum and I recently watched a series on David. It was a little bit slow to start with, but it was actually really impressive to see how somebody so young was picked and how God chased after him, how Samuel chased after him. But sometimes it's hard to find the right words. So what's the best thing to do when you can't find the right words? Steal someone else's. So maybe have you ever been asked, are you okay? Or what's making you so happy? Or you're trying to pray or you're trying to have a conversation and you can't find the right words. It's not because you don't want to, but maybe you're done, you're depleted, you're empty, you're overjoyed, and you're like, oh, how do I explain this? And maybe it's just me and that's okay, but have you ever started a conversation or a prayer and you're like, and you start it like 17 times and you're like, I can't find the words. I don't know where to start. This is where music kind of comes in. Songs, they're not just something that we let me start again. Songs aren't just something we do because we're Christian. It's something we do because God is alive. It's something we do because sometimes you can't get the language right yourself. And honestly, church is the best place to start. You're in a big room with a whole crowd of people also singing with a big karaoke screen. It's the best place to start because if you can't sing, it doesn't matter. There are that many other people that are drowning you out, so it's fine. Also, nobody cares if you can't sing, if you get what I mean. Or like the person next to you, they're loving life, but they're in their moment and that's awesome. But when we look in the Bible at what it says, if you don't know, the Bible was originally written not in English, but in Greek and Hebrew. And as cool as our Aussie language is, sometimes our words kind of have lost the meaning in the translation. Because worship isn't just singing, it's action. It's your voice, it's your body, it's your being. So I want to throw some Hebrew words at you real quick. First, we have halal, which means, hopefully it's going to come up on the screen for me. It means to praise, boast, or celebrate. It's a word that often conveys an exuberant, even a foolish display of joy and adoration. And it's where we get the word hallelujah. Zamar means to make music, sing, or praise through music. It specifically refers to the act of playing musical instruments, especially stringed instruments, and singing praises to God. Yadah means to praise, to give thanks, or to Lord. It often is associated with the action of raising your hands in worship or lifting them in gratitude. The word also has a broader meaning, including to throw or to cast. But in the Bible, the most commonly used is the context of praise and thanksgiving. Talal means to praise, song of praise, or hymn of praise, and it often refers to spontaneous, heartfelt expressions of worship directed towards God. And lastly, we have Avad, which means to work, do, serve. It encompasses a range of meaning, including labor, service, and worship. Because worship isn't something that you just do on Sundays, it's who we are created to praise. David, who wrote our Bible reading for today, was known for his legacy, his victories on the battlefield, but most importantly, he was known as the songwriter, the psalmist. There's something powerful about music that connects to memory. I can hear a song and be instantly taken back to a moment, a place, a feeling. Whether I'm in the car, I don't really listen to the radio much, but like in the shop, something or somebody else is playing something, and all of a sudden I remember where I first heard that. You'll be taken back to a memory that you have, and I have hundreds. Songs like Don't You Ever Grow Up by Taylor Swift that I sung at my dad's 40th. Barricades and Brick Walls by Casey Chambers that my mum and I used to blare in the car because it was the only CD in the car, back when cars had CDs. Timber by Pitbull that my brother and I dance around the entire house to. It's the only one he wants to dance with me to. Songs that remind me of people that I've loved in the past, of friendships, of songs that I remember dancing with my friends as we're getting ready or at a brigade thing, sometimes, somewhere. But when you look back at your Christian walk and identify moments, it will often be associated with a song. You'll remember a song that the Lord either gave to you or that you heard that meant something in the season that you were in. I remember sitting in that very activity center, because this is where I've been my whole life, on a Sunday for Sunday school. And now some of you won't know this, but we had what we call an overhead projector, and it looks like this. It looks ancient. We used to have one of these. When I looked at that, I felt really old. But we used to have one of these where Mrs. Fletcher would put the sheets on, and they were like see-through, and I used to get like, be allowed to help pick the song. I thought it was so special. Got to like pick a song, and it will be forever be embedded in my brain, sitting on that carpet with the overhead projector. It was on this wall, like I can remember it like it was yesterday. Sitting on the carpet, learning the song and the actions to this in particular song. Our God is a great big God. Something like that, like it just brings you back. You're like, oh yeah, I know that song. And it will mean something different for you. We used to have a massive youth group here. And once a term, we would have a worship night. And right here, right in front of where I'm standing, safety 101. But we would get those like white bifold tables and you'd stand them up on their side in a circle. And we'd have like a mosh pit of worship. It was insane. Like we'd walk in and everyone's jumping. There were some injuries, but that's okay. Because workplace health and safety didn't exist back then. But there were so many people. I felt like I was at a concert. Like it was, like the music was loud. I'm surprised we didn't have noise complaints. It was loud. The poor like aged care home next door. But it was loud on a Friday night. And it takes me back to when I was 13, jumping and screaming the words and praising with a bunch of young people to this song in particular. And it was wild. You could imagine a bunch of teenagers just like, take it, like wild. I'd never seen anything like it. I was a bit okay, they're all a lot bigger than me. That's not hard, but they're all a lot bigger than me. And then I remember going to solo for stage 2 of leadership, so 2015. And the night before we went out, if you don't know what that is, you spend like 4 days in the bush by yourself. Cook your own food, you're in a tent, it's safe. It's actually really fun. I really enjoyed it. But I remember I was really nervous about it. And so the night before when we had worship, we had this song, and then I sung it to myself. Good thing I was in the bush by myself. I sung it by myself while I was out there every single day. And it was the first time in my entire life that I realized that, you know what, this God thing is, like, I knew God was legit, but for the first time I really felt like he was there and I wasn't actually alone. That he's got me and I'm going to be okay. And it was this song in particular.
You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way.
And so, like, you hear something, and I can remember sitting in my tent in tears, just like, you make me freaking out. Because I was like, what do you mean? Like, I could hear a bush turkey and I was worried it was going to eat my food. It didn't. It was fine. I was like, when you're by yourself for the first time as like a 15-year-old, you get a bit worried, right? And I was reading my Bible and I was praying all the prayers. It was the first time I'd read Philippians like back to front. I was going through all of these things about where is God in my church, all of these things. There was a lot going on in my life, and it reminded me that I am brave. I am okay, that he calls me out and he will keep chasing me. And then I remember at the end of 2023, I'd been made redundant. And so I was going to lots of job interviews and trying to figure out where to next. Was God calling me to be a teacher or to be a chaplain? Do I want to be a pastor? Like, what the heck do I want to be? I like all of the things. And then a few weeks later, my dad had a heart attack. And I remember feeling like, what do I even do with that? How do I even begin to process what is going on in my life? What is happening? I remember playing this song as I drove to every single interview, knowing that through so many seasons of my life, not only have I put in the work, but that God has always come through with a plan better than something I could ever put together. That actually things are going to be okay. And so I remember I'd play it on the way to an interview and I'd play it on the way back. On the way back, I would cry because I couldn't quite do that before an interview because that would look a bit weird. If I'm walking in, I look like a panda bear. I don't think that's super professional. But it's called Faithful Now and it still evokes a lot of emotion in me today. If you haven't heard it, I think it's really beautiful.
You make mountains move. You make giants fall. And you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear. I will preach to my doubt.
I have a lot that I could give to you, but for my last one, I'm going to give you two and the one, because some things have changed over the last few months in my life, and I was feeling really negative about life, which I don't love because I'm not a negative person, but I was just kind of feeling heavy, a little weighed down about constant care and decisions around my diabetes, about doing a job that I love, but it's just a lot sometimes, holding two different roles. It's a tough gig. Of just being an adult, of holding a whole lot of roles. But for just like the last little while, as much as I love my other music, while I get ready in the mornings, I have just been shuffling our First Pine Rivers worship playlist, which, side note, it is public. You are welcome to follow it if you would like some worship music, stuff that we often listen to at Brigade, and I update it regularly. But anyway, I was shuffling that, and it reminded me of Psalm 150, of just praising in everyday mundane things, of getting ready, of cleaning my house, to just dance. Dance it out because God is good. It's also just like God continued to send Samuel to seek David. God continues to seek me out and remind me that he is working even when I don't see it. And so I've got two songs for you. Our first one is Goodbye Yesterday.
Hands up!
know, sorry, it just like abruptly cuts off. My other one is, it doesn't sound like a Jesus song to start with, but it reminds me of just the joy of like just dancing around, that life really isn't that bad, that God has actually got me. It's called Praise the Lord. First things first, Lord, I praise the Lord. Here I can with me, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We all have our songs, and sometimes when we can't find the words to pray, someone else's lyrics are the words that we need. So what do you do with this? If you're here today and life feels messy, praise anyway. If you're here and things are going great, praise big. Whatever season you are in, worship is your invitation to sit in the presence of God, who sees you, knows you, and loves you deeply. So my challenge for you is to make some noise for God. This week, I dare you to make some noise for God, to play a worship song in your room, to sing even if it's off key, to dance like nobody's watching, or even if they are, dance. They might dance with you. To say thank you to God in your own words, to pick a song that is your anthem for this season, because you were made to praise. So right now, we're going to do what Psalm 150 says, where it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So that includes you right now, in this moment, with whatever you've got, whether it's clapping, singing, swaying, shouting, dancing, bring it. We want to worship like David, worship like Psalm 150, to make some joyful noise for the God who is with us in the mountain and in the valley, because you are chosen, you are loved, you are not alone, and you were made to praise. So we're going to do the very last bit of praise that my girls just danced to. You can stand if you want, whatever you want to do.